Well, good morning, church. We're so happy to have you here this morning and joining us online. Last week, we talked about what it means to have true biblical joy and how we're to persevere through our struggles by anchoring ourselves to God's word and sounding ourselves with good support system, having lots of people around us. Hopefully, over this last week, you've started to implement some of what we talked about. And today, we're going to move a little bit ahead in chapter 1 of James 19 to 25. It goes like this: "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intentionally into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." Have you been going through something difficult lately? I know that the pandemic is one thing. Have you come through something difficult in the past and survived to talk about it? It is always nice to know there is a reward after walking through something difficult, isn't there? This can be especially true if we suffered through something that required a lot of willpower, a lot of self-control, and a bunch of effort. But in those times, did you lose your control? Did you act the way you thought you should act? Or did you look back and say, "I could have handled that a little bit better"? That's okay. We need to take note of how events have gone in the past and learn from them so we can move forward. But how can you improve and move forward so that you are living the way God wants you to? Well, we need to have an understanding of what troubles, temptation, and sin are first. In James, he says that the believer who endures troubles demonstrates that he or she loves the Lord. And one important fact that James points out is that there is actually a process to sin. The sinful action doesn't just happen, but it actually is the repercussions of unchecked fleshly desires. Temptation comes in when we've given in to our own fleshly desires and become enticed, as it says in verse 14. The process is compared to the process of conceiving and giving birth, verses 14 and 15. It's similar to pregnancy. It doesn't just happen. You don't just wake up one day and give birth. At least, I haven't heard of that. Pregnancy is a process, starting with dating and all the things that go along with courting each other, and then it's marriage and conception, and then growth of the fetus, and finally birth, when the child is ready and fully grown, they grow up. This process is slow, and there's a lot of events that lead up to birth that must happen way before the actual birth of a child. James explains this process as sin to make the point that God is not the cause of our temptation, but we are tempted when we are drawn away from Him. He goes on to confirm this in verses 16 to 18 by saying God gives good gifts as opposed to bad ones. Understanding this can also help us take responsibility for our action, knowing that God is not the cause of our troubles, but sin and its influence in the world and in our hearts is. There's a balance shown here in these verses, and it says that as we endure trials, it brings life, but giving in to temptation leads to death. Ever noticed when we go through something difficult and come out through the other side, it feels better than when we give into temptation or do something wrong? There's a reason for that. This balance of troubles, perseverance, self-control is contrasted with Holy Spirit-led qualities in verses 19, where it says, "Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." When we go through certain trials, the tension can easily cause us to react in anger, in outbursts, and in poor listening skills. Friends try to talk to us and speak to us concerning our situation, and we only listen in order to retaliate or just to ignore due to our frustrations. The Christian qualities of self-control plus all the fruits of the Spirit are needed when enduring struggles and temptations so that we can be the example that Christ has asked us to be. In order to do this, James says, don't act inappropriate, but do what the Word of God has asked you to do. Verse 21. So to the core of our being, we need to recognize that self-control, or on the flip side, giving into sin, is a heart issue. You've heard the saying, the heart wants what the heart wants. Well, that is usually very self-focused. We know that the importance and the ability to have self-control is all throughout the Bible, Proverbs 25, 27 to 28, Galatians 5, Romans 7, 1 Corinthians 7, 5. The issue is, how do we gain self-control? How can we gain self-control so that we do not fall into temptation or react inappropriately, not showing the fruits of the Spirit, or by giving into selfish desires? As we mentioned last week, all of mankind tends to focus on self before anything else. You're probably doing it right now. I have stuff to do today. This COVID protocol stuff in the church and everywhere else is annoying. When will this be over? It's inconvenient for me. So, if I can help you this morning not fall into temptation by getting you to focus on God, then let's go for it. So how do we gain self-control, and how do we remove ourselves from being the focus? Well, we do it by resisting to have it our own way. This applies in all areas of our lives, but it's vital in your relationship with God and relationship with others as well. We want to have it our way, but in reality, our focus should really be on God's way. How can I focus on God? Well, by making Him a priority. What's the first thing you think about when you wake up? If it's not God, then guess what? He's not the priority. Change it. Fix it. I know you can do that. So how do we remove ourselves from being the focus? Well, we resist having it our own way. We also do it by placing Christ first. Everything is done first with Him in mind throughout your day. That's really all there is to it. Showing love, joy, peace, kindness, self-control. Loving Him first and your neighbor as yourself. It's simple, but it's tough. Loving God doesn't mean you don't love others, though. It means everything we see and do is filtered through Him, which is important because He died for us, so you get the picture here. Are you sacrificing and serving like Jesus did? Think about it for a minute. So, we gain self-control by recognizing also that the Holy Spirit is who we take our cue from. All the fruits of the Spirit, and we've mentioned a bunch of them this morning, are there for you. You just have to access them. How do you access those? You do it by praying. You do it by asking. You do it by being that example that Christ has asked us to be. Yes, it's difficult sometimes. Yes, it's hard. But you know what? No one said it would be easy, and life is difficult sometimes. And so we need to realize that just because it's difficult doesn't mean it's bad. It just means we're going through a difficult time, and God is there to help us walk through it. So I want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you to get your focus on Him. Wake up in the morning thinking about Him. If you're thinking about the rest of your day, then your focus is not on Him first. It's on you. It's on others. It's not on Him. And so I want to challenge you just this one thing this week. When you wake up, make sure He's first on your mind. If God is on your mind, if what Jesus would do is on your mind, then you're off to a good start. Will you wake up a few mornings and God's not on your mind? Guaranteed, it's going to happen. Refocus and focus on Him. So I want to encourage you today, do this one thing throughout the week, and I promise you, you're going to notice a difference. You're going to notice a difference in how you react when you're out. You're going to notice how you feel. You're going to notice how you interact with other people. It's going to change your life, and I promise you, if you do it, you'll see the rewards in the long term. Maybe not right away, but you will see rewards in the long term. And the rewards aren't selfish. They're for others. And that's a great part of all of this. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for this day. And I just pray that we will learn to focus on you. That when we wake up, we'll be thankful for everything you've done for us. We'll be thankful for the breath that we breathe. Help us to just have that simple focus on you every morning so that we can meet our day with what you want us to do and what you want us to be like. Thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. Can't wait to see you next week. I hope you have a great week. Try that. Wake up in the morning. God first. See what happens. We'll see you next week. God bless.